Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Puppy Training Principles podcast, where we help dog owners find solutions to their biggest problems, avoid common training pitfalls, and build the confident, calm, family canine companion they've always dreamed of. I think focus is really the key to all learning and all growth. If we want to become anything, we've got to start with focus. It's got to be like, we spend enough time putting mind power, thought power, physical power, emotional power, all of it into one big spot, like one big spotlight where we're just focusing in on that thing and making it happen is the key. And the fact of the matter is, in life, we have a lot of distractions. And a lot of times when we're talking about focus, the opposite is distraction. And I think there's something that's being missed. And it's true, right? There are tons of distractions. We could talk about minimizing distractions so that we can focus better, and that's really important. But I think there's something that's being missed that doesn't come up a lot. And as a dog trainer, we get to see and work with this a ton. And it's caused me to look at it from a human perspective, me personally, and saying, oh, how are these things impacting my focus? And the thing that I think is being missed over and over and over again is the actual environmental cues that we have around us every single day. We all know our environment plays a part, and there's always a discussion between nature versus nurture and which one has more of an impact. They both do, right? But we have these environmental cues, and it may be, for example, like if you go and turn on a lamp and then you sit down and study, and then you study for 30 minutes, an hour, 10 minutes, whatever it may be, and then you turn off the lamp and go, your body starts to associate a cue with that. If you want to sleep in your bed, but you often read in your bed, then there's cues that don't work together, right? So a lot of people will say, man, I have a hard time sleeping, but they also spend a lot of time laying in bed reading or looking at their phone or being on their computer. And that cue doesn't equal sleep all the time. Now, if you wanted to change that, you could really, it's hard to change a cue because you've got these like neurological connections to those cues, but you can build in new cues or contradict other cues. And we do this all day, every day. I mean, how many times, like when you wake up, what's the first thing you do? And it's just the normal cue that you have. And if you can put an action in between a cue, then it starts to change your habits. So just thinking off the top of my head, if I want to read more out of books, right? I'm like, I read all the time online. I look at this, I look at that, I scroll through that, but I want to read more. Then one of those cues might be that after you brush your teeth, you sit down and you read, like maybe even on the floor, right? Or maybe that's the next step. Try changing something up. I've had some issues with the bottom of my feet with plantar fasciitis. And so I started doing this weird thing where I'm like, you know what? Every morning I feel like I'm just re-injuring this. And so I just decided, you know what? I'm not going to step on my feet in the morning. I get out of bed and I crawl to my seat, and I lift myself up on my seat, and I have some nice sandals there that are really good for my feet. And I sit there and I read for 20, 30 minutes. And then guess what? My feet have already kind of, they've been slowly stretched instead of all my weight being placed on my feet, and it's starting to solve that issue. So that's a specific issue in a specific time. What's another one? Let's go with like exercise. It's always about the cues, right? So if you say, you know what, I have this cue where I'm going to every night I'm going to set my clothes out because I want to exercise in the morning, whatever it may be. I don't care when the time is, but there's a cue there, and you say, okay, I'm going to wake up and I go in and I change. Maybe you go in and change right into your workout clothes and go to the workout. Maybe you sleep in your workout clothes if they're comfortable. So you wake up and you're ready to go. But there's different cues all around us. So a couple weeks ago, I needed some big focus time, a big slot of focus time where I could work on a big project I'm working on. The things that are exciting in life that you really want to accomplish. And a lot of times you're looking back on years and you're like, why have I not done that yet? Like it would probably take me like a day if I just focused on it. But that's how hard it is right now in our world to find focus time. And so instead of staying at home and just like blocking out that time, I went somewhere else that I had nothing I could really work on. It was just me the internet and the ability to focus. And I needed internet to work on this project, but like the ability to just focus and say, this is what I'm working on. By doing that and taking out my normal natural cues that are all around me, these triggers that I'm used to, I got a lot done. And it's funny, like I was almost done with the project, and then because of a winter storm, I was like, I'm gonna leave now. I never finished it. Like there's still little pieces I gotta finish. That was like 2 weeks ago, even though in a day or two, I got most of it done. So it's funny how those cues that are all around us, and if we're really self-aware, you'll start to see those cues. You'll know like, when I sit down to do this, I usually look at my phone and it might be an hour later and I'm still looking at my phone. Or when, you know, whatever the cue may be. For our dogs, we see this all the time, right? People will say, I start getting changed into my walking clothes after work, or I grab the car keys and my dog just amps up. They're jumping all over me and they know they're going on a walk and they're super amped and super excited. Yeah, that's a cue. There's a trigger that happens with a dog because they say, oh, this happened before and I went and I did this fun, crazy thing outside, smells, everything, excitement, adrenaline. I gotta get ready for that. And dogs are really good at showing us that they are adrenalized, right? That they get amped up and they're like, and we label that as they're happy or excited or nervous, whatever. If we just boil it down and say they're adrenalized, there was a cue that did that. Now, if there's a cue that can do that, we can take that cue and we can change it into a new one, but we've got to do it very purposefully. We've got to say this cue, and then this is going to happen. And that can be really hard, even in our mind and our focus, because we're used to our mind going to this thing or to that thing. And to put something in between there takes really like a concerted effort to say, I'm going to make this cue into this focus. But that's really how we make a huge difference with dogs really fast, is we say, here's the cue. Here's what you focus on. Don't focus on anything else. Let the rest of the world fall away. They're like, oh, life is so much more calming this way. And they start to learn to calm down, which is like the biggest side product of focus, is life is just more calm and more peaceful. And I want that more for me. I think it's really hard to look at ourselves and to say, I mean, it's easy to look and say, I need to change. It's hard to actually find the time to focus and do it. And so it usually takes like going with the motivation of the moment and just saying, I will do this. But I think cues is often overlooked in that process, to say, we've got all these cues around us and recognize what they are and start to change them, keep them, leverage them, or just altogether get rid of them. So a fun way maybe to implement both of these strategies, whether you're talking about human development or our dogs developing, a fun way to do that is to leverage this focus time your dog has. Now, a lot of times when you're teaching your dog to focus, and especially at the first, like focus on a place command or waiting at the door or heeling and walking close next to you on a leash, you can't just say, okay, do it, and expect it to happen. That would be like me going to my three-year-old and being like, clean the room, clean your bedroom, and expecting it to happen. Like, they don't know how. And so, of course, you have to help them at first, and I have to give them cues and motivators in order to do those things so that they can learn how to do it. So when I'm training a dog at first, I'm training him to do, like, the place command, and I've got to, like, be there. I can't, like, say, okay, place, and have my dog go on place, and then like go to the store. Like, it's not gonna work. But I can leverage this newfound focus and this new command that my dog is doing, because I have to kind of be there, but as time goes on, I don't really have to be like focused on my dog getting this command. But I can use that time because I can't leave the room. So what could that be? You could say, you know what, I'm working on the place command. And as your dog gets better at it and you get, you know, you could do this right with your dog. You could say place, and your dog is doing the place command and they get decent good, like 10 minutes or whatever, they're pretty solid. You could exercise during that time, 10 minutes of exercise. If you're struggling to get exercise and you're like, this is my exercise time, I'm in the room, I'm exercising, right? You're doing that. And your dog's about to that spot, 10 minutes, you release them and you go do something else. And you're like, I just did 10 minutes of exercise. And it's as they get better at this, right? You get more exercise time. And you get better and stronger. And so that half hour of time where your dog is doing place, you can make that your cue to be like, this is my exercise time. this is my exercise time. This is huge. So you have these cues that make a difference. Your dog's working on it. You can leverage that time and also work on it. Maybe you want to read more. Okay, so your dog goes place, you pull out a book. You can kind of keep a peripheral view on your dog here, making sure they're doing it just fine. But you're reading, and that's your half hour of reading time. And that's gonna set up a new cue and a new routine for you. Maybe going to the mailbox to get your mail or taking the trash out. Maybe that's what you do. So you have your dog do it down, you gather the trash, and then you have your dog heal and heal with you. And you always use that time as training. But you can also use it for time for you, where you can just say, okay, we're working on this behavior and that behavior. Maybe you just say, you know what, I'm gonna multitask and use, which is probably the wrong word, but I'm gonna use this time that my dog is doing place to get ready for the day, or to listen to a TED talk, whatever it may be that you're just like, I want to grow and I want to develop, and you use that time that your dog is growing and developing to where you can as well. But it can be as simple as just saying, you know what, I'm gonna switch on a light, and that's my cue to do this thing very next. And you just do that over and over and over again, and before you know it, you'll switch on that light, and that cue will present itself. But like, if you're trying to focus and all of these other cues are bombarding you, we call those distractions, but they're really other cues, it's really hard to keep your line of focus, your mind focused on the right thing long enough. But it will make or break us. Like, that's how we will develop, how we will grow, and how we will ultimately become and be able to unleash, to use a dog word, our inner selves, who we are and what we want to become. So we definitely want to be able to do this and get good at this and to see it and be aware of it. A cue could be as simple as opening a door, right? You walk into somewhere and you stop, or you always clap your hands before you do something. How many of you know people that they clap their hands and then it's time to do something, right? It's a cue, and we're starting to build that in. And there's thousands of these cues you could build in. Flipping on a light, a lamp, and studying. Sitting down and studying. Phones all away from that, other distractions, and just focus studying. Sometimes it's flip on a light, put on like no noise canceling earphones, and then go for it. Maybe not even listening to anything. How many times do you have a cue where you pop in those like noise canceling earbuds or whatever, and you're just like, okay, now it's my focus time? Because it brings everything inside, right? They're so like internal that it brings everything in, and it's like focus. Now your music can be distracting too, but sometimes it's also, if you put in those headphones and you start going, sometimes you forget and you don't even realize that the music is going or what you're listening to or what songs you did listen to because you're so focused, because you have a cue and it's just so internal. And I think sometimes like putting in earplugs or something like that can be your cue, where you're just like, I'm popping in earplugs and I'm doing this thing for a half hour. And if you keep doing that like regularly, that's gonna be a cue. And you'll go somewhere, you'll stick in earplugs for whatever reason, you'll be like, I feel like I should be working on, because that cue is connected inside of us. So there's a physical way, just with our anatomy and how we work, to make it so we can focus better. There's just so much of our world, and even so much of marketing, that is so good at grabbing that attention, that we need to use the same things purposefully in our lives, so that we say, all right, this is where I'm gonna focus. I'm gonna get the most important things done, the vital things, before I let some of these other little fires take my attention. I think it's also, as we look at our dogs, I think they are really good at not trying to multitask, but like, they have so many cues around them. And that's kind of how they base their life, right? There's, the sound of the food bowl, that cue. And just the rhythm of life. Dogs are so good at like the rhythm of life. If you are involved in daylight savings time, for example, and sometimes love it or hate it, our dogs don't care. And if you have a dog, you know this, because you're like, oh, I'm gonna sleep in an extra hour. And they're like, no, you're not. Like the normal time, even though our time is all of a sudden changed, it's not for them. And so their cue and their rhythm is there. And they're so in touch with that, but they do have so many cues. Like, you go outside on a walk and there's another dog And there's a cue associated with that, depending on what their life's been like. If they always just played with dogs, because if they've always played with dogs and never had calm time with dogs, then what do you think that cue is going to result in? It's going to lead to an adrenaline rush, and they're going to be clawing, trying to get over there, because that's the cue. It could be the sound of like a fence shaking as another dog runs up to the fence, or it could be another person walking by. It could be leaves blowing down the sidewalk. Whatever it may be, they have so many cues, and they're building in those cues, saying this cue means this and this cue means that. And they're really good at just simplifying life and saying, this is this, and making it happen. And I think that's why the polar bear challenge thing, the ice box challenge, whatever, like where you take ice baths, I think that's why that is so popular, because what you're doing is you're setting a hard cue. And yes, there's all these other medical things going on, but you're saying, I'm doing this thing for 2 minutes or whatever it may be. And it's like, whoo, and then you go do the other thing. And it's like, this is a cue for my day. And it's just setting it up. And I think that's really, I mean, again, there's lots of science behind like what's happening in your body and things like that, whatever, cortisone stuff, whatever. But at the same time, behaviorally, there's a cue where you're saying, okay, I can do this thing. And you're not doing much more than focusing on that for that amount of time. I think it's a lot harder to turn the shower cold. Like, that's harder than actually plunging in and being immersed in it and being there. And that's the same thing with focus. It's harder to say, you know what, let's just do a little bit of focus here and there. It's easier to just dive in and be like, I am all in, and it might be hard, and my brain might tell me to go somewhere else, and I say, no, I'm not going that direction. Put up that stop sign in your mind and just focus on what's ahead of you and watch how things change. Most of the time, everything else in life will fit right around that, right? It's like that example of when they talk about the big jar, and you've got like some big rocks, some medium rocks, and some little rocks, and trying to make it all fit. And if you put in all the little rocks first, it will never fit. Like, you got rocks spilling over the top. But if you put in the big rocks first, and then the medium rocks, and then all these little rocks, and they like spread in around it, it all fits. It all fits. So it's just like that. Like, if we can fit all those rocks in because we put the big ones in first. What are those top three? Right? For our dogs, top three, food is one of those. They love food, right? That's huge to them. So you want to leverage that time. They will learn to love calm, like food. When they get to do that over and over again, that's a top three, right? And then the part that everyone focuses on, which is a lot of time, is play and stuff like, it's easy, right? But having a structure, boundaries around what they do, I would put that probably in their top three, because that structure gives them security to life. And so for you, it might be similar. You might say, you know what? I need some better boundaries in my life. I need more structure, and I want to put that in there. Well, focus is going to be your key to building that boundary and then keeping that boundary. Maybe family is another one. It is for me. Like, I want to spend that time with my family. I want to, I feel like whatever I do in life, you know, how many thousands of dogs I help, if I can't help my own children under my own roof, then I probably miss something along the way. So family's a big one. And what is that going to look like? What are the boundaries on that? How do I make sure that family time happens? Maybe it's family meals. That's a big one in our home. We always try and sit around the table, at least for dinner. Breakfast almost never happens that way. Lunch sometimes, right? But we have kids that we have, you know, 17-year-old all the way down to a 1-year-old, and six kids in between. So in between those two. So there's a lot there, but if we can just have that base time where we all connect together, that's huge. And that can be focus time. Now, is it hard for me not to like look at my phone and do a little bit of work while I'm at the table? Yeah, that's tough for me to be able to just set it aside. It's not hard for my wife, for Lorelai. She got it covered. Like, she's so good at this. For me, it's really hard. Whatever those things might be in your life, take a look at those and say, all right, what are my big ones that I'm, no matter what, this is where I'm going to always put my focus and attention on that. Maybe it's when you're talking with people that you're like, you know what? I don't want those conversations just to be this or that. And what did I say when I just finished talking with whatever? I want to focus on them and talk with them and make the most out of that moment. That's a great place to start. So being able to use those cues to just focus and to change things in your life, in my life, as We all have a finite amount of time, but if we'll take that time and we'll make it count, then we get more quality to the time that we've been given. So one of the things that really helps being able to be successful, like with these cues, is there are other people that have done this. There's other people that have gone before. And so if you can find the right mentor, the right coach, the right system to follow, then you don't have to come up with the cues. You just need to execute on them. So that's why we work so hard on our online courses. We have our kennel training challenge or crate training challenge that really helps out. Our puppy course that I've talked a lot about on this podcast. And we also have our Chaos to Calm course, which is huge for a dog's life, for their foundation for life. When they're starting at 5 months old, they can do this course where they really start to build in the calm of life, the focus of life. So we too can follow that. But this course is now available and it comes with all the supplies. We wanted people not to have to worry about any of the extra stuff. The supplies are actually mailed right to your door because we know what's gonna work. You don't have to search the internet and YouTube videos to try and find out what's good, what's not. We know what works, we know what's good, and we know how to teach you how to use the tools so they can be good tools. And that's all part of this process. So along this pathway, if you're saying, man, my dog doesn't focus like that, or my dog needs more focus and they're over 5 months old, then this course can be a great process for you to follow. It's called our Chaos to Calm course, and it's over 8 weeks. Again, you can use those cues to help your life as well, but it's over 8 weeks, and it comes with a community to help people through that process where they can actually type in private community and ask questions and get answers, post pictures, share their success. We love the success stories. That's my favorite part. And then we also do like live Zoom classes once a week so people can come and ask questions personally, specifically for their dog, and get answers. So it's almost like you're actually training with a trainer. In fact, you are. It's like that same process because we built it after the course in person that has worked so well, and we want people to be successful. And so that's why we created this online course over 8 weeks where you'll be amazed, you'll be floored. It will feel like magic, but it's not. To see what your dog goes through and how they change, and just love meeting with you and hearing those stories and talking with individuals and hearing about their success. Because this process is like, it's like human nature. It's like the way the world works. If you can focus on it, you can achieve it. And this pathway takes you through that process to where you really actually can get to the point where your dog is unleashed.